Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Hope. The kind of hope that enables us to plan a future in this pandemic age in which we are living. Not just any hope will do, but the hope that is rooted in a reality that is bigger than the challenge. The kind of hope that comes from the very character of God. The kind of hope that enables us to plan, to be able to plan a future in light of God's hope. We know, we're learning of all the times we've had to put on our plans postponed or canceled. We realize the adjustments that we've had to make that just like Judd has expressed so well, even in the life of our church, it's been all about adjusting and adapting, just as it has been for you in your personal life, your family life, and the life of your business. So in the midst of this time, what becomes most clear is what is most real, and that's God. God's power and vision for the future that we can begin to act on today. Hope imagines God's future reality by acting hopefully today. Are you a person of hope? I'm not just talking about, do you have a positive attitude so that can be a sign of the hope? I'm not just talking about a feel-good experience for a moment that's gone the next moment. But I'm talking about being rooted in the character of God's imagination for the future, where you yourself then are partnering with God in order for that to become real. That's why among the most loved verses in all the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. When this prophet who lived 600 years before Christ and helped to prepare the way for Christ's coming, when this prophet who spoke at a time of great difficulty, when the 10 tribes to the north of what was known as Israel, being a 12-tribe nation, those 10 tribes were taken away years earlier, never to be traced from again. What were remaining were two tribes to the south that then would be called the new Israel. They themselves, in a disobedience to God, were taken into a captivity to a faraway land called Babylon, current-day Iraq. What were people to do? Well, you heard the Purcells read the scripture, and in reading the scripture, you found the context by which this great verse is found, in which Jeremiah said, "For I know, I have heard this from God. I know, the Lord said, that I plans I have for you. There are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. There are plans to give you hope in a future." The plans to prosper is to help you in the here and now in such a way that you can get through the harm of the day. Plans to be able to give you hope and a future. We know what Dwight Eisenhower or George Marshall said in the middle of World War II is also true for us. The plans themselves may end up being nothing, but planning is everything. Because planning is putting effort into an intentional way of living the future of what will need to be done. And in the process of our planning, we are shaped around our ultimate objective, the purpose that we're guided to. But in the midst of the battle, in the midst of life going sideways, we may need to adjust radically. But because we have been in the planning, the shaping, the life of our character, we have formed relationships and formed trust. We have formed a hope around a promise that ultimately leads us to look up and to see God. Wasn't it marvelous when in the Lone Star State, the Thunderbirds gave us a gift in flying above as a way of commending the work of those on the front line in the healthcare field? And they came zoomed across San Antonio, and they zoomed over Trinity Baptist Church. As we can see, they zoomed over the steeple of our church. And in doing so, you and we were looking up into the sky. And of course, that's part of the power, is that we were looking up and we were all looking in the same direction, upward. A steeple on the church, like at 319 East Mulberry Avenue, forces us to look up and to see what is there. But it's not about the steeple. It's about simply, like the psalmist would say, like Jacob called us into worship, it's looking up and above where we are now to know that God is. And in the stretch of our neck muscles, we're also stretching our souls to see most clearly. Wasn't the rain this past week wonderful, refreshing, sounded good in the thunderstorm, even the big claps of thunder on Friday night and early Saturday morning? Because we needed the rain. You know what I recall during the thunderstorm? That in the time that you've allowed me to be here with you as your pastor, we've had two major droughts. And we found our ways through the drought. One of the droughts was so serious that we kidded ourselves about being tempted to become Presbyterians, where we wouldn't have enough water to do the immersion baptism, but we would just have enough to kind of wring over a person's head and baptize. But the rain ultimately came, and the drought ended. That's a confidence builder. When I became your pastor in February the 16th of 2009, do you recall that what we now call the Great Recession was underway? That the peak of the Great Recession was October of 2008 to what we now would say is March of 2009, but we didn't know that at the time. We were in the middle of it, but we were also planning a future. We were trusting God and God's character to go forward. Now, these are just two illustrations about from life experience that we've shared together. How God saw us through by having a future that we could lean into today, though we didn't understand all the details of what that would mean, but we can know that we can trust God's character. So what do we do with this call of Jeremiah 29:11? Well, first, we trust. We can trust God's worthiness. That hope enables us to see the future by seeing God. Hope is about having a vision of faith, to be able to see what is yet to come in our current reality and to begin to working on that now, working on that today. This trusting of God's worthiness is into the very character of God. And by that character that we know that we have a place to stand where we are and to be able to see what can be. In this promise of trust, we are reminded of what is most real. Our friend Gary Jones put it this way: God has your tomorrow covered, even though you haven't been there yet. He's got the plan. See, God's divine plan always trumps. God's divine plan always wins. God's divine plan always overcomes. We know we win in the end because God is the victor of the end. But along the way are all these difficulties and challenges and adjustments to be made that we can be centered in an uncentered world during an uncentered time by knowing this hope of provision of God's grace. God has your tomorrow covered. Or we recall how it was that the prophet Jeremiah and others influenced that early Christian writer who, writing the Hall of Fame chapter in Hebrews 11, while he and the church of his time were going through their own difficulty, he said, I can look up in the past and I see how God was faithful then. The same God is active today, and the same God is providing his pathway for us today. So now faith is the substance of what we hope for, that we hope for in God and the evidence of what we have not yet seen. See, faith, hope, and love go together. They are what the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 13, the three great eternals in the DNA of God's character and our lives. What lasts forever are these three. And the connection here is faith is a trusting relationship, and hope is the vision of what God is wanting to make possible by our becoming people of hope today in the here and now. When people look at you, do they see a person of hope? Now, they may hear in your voice some anxiety. They may feel with around you some fear. But do they hear you pushing through that anxiety and acting beyond the fear? Because that you are centered in a hope of what can be the people who are living in your household. The people with whom you're meeting in conferences by Zoom. The places where you're able to go with appropriate physical distancing. Or trusting who's behind that mask to whom you're talking. Do they sense that there's a person of this hope who is there? We're inspired by those who have acted on this hope, this kind of hope that is most real. John David Hopper was one of those saints from the life of our church, that he and Joanne also had a witness around the globe And my first day as pastor in my office here at Trinity, John David came, knocked on the door, and said, "Pastor Les, I'm only going to take 1 minute, but I want to give you a gift." And the gift he gave me was of this wooden statue that you see that has been on my desk every day since. It's a statue that had been given him. It's a statue that was carved by a man who lived in the mountains of Austria. It's a statue of Jeremiah. And you notice that Jeremiah, in this carving, is seated. His head is leaning across his hand, and he's trying to figure it out. And what John David said is that this was a gift that was given to me, and it stayed on my desk at the president of the seminary there in Ruslan, there in Prague, during a time of great upheaval in Europe, that I knew there were problems that were coming my way that I didn't have the answers for, but I knew that God did. And just like the prophet Jeremiah, I needed to trust in the character of God that he would be able to provide that answer. It's there as a reminder for me about that God is faithful every day and through each era. He's faithful for us today. Now, during the droughts, we would pray for rain. And there are times that some of you would see me after we'd offered a prayer of rain. And you say, "Oh, Pastor, are you carrying an umbrella?" Meaning, are we expecting rain to happen right now? And it was a good laughter from the joke. But I did keep the umbrella in the car when I wasn't carrying it in my hand. That in itself is this sign of this hope that Jeremiah then gets to in the second part of his message. That we can build and plant and marry and prosper. What he says to you, now Jeremiah himself was stuck back in the old place. He was stuck still back in Jerusalem, far to the west of where the leaders of the nation had been taken into the land of Babylon, and which the unspeakable horror that had taken place in the midst of their being uprooted from there to here that remained for Jeremiah where he was. And he had heard the stories that the people in the new land weren't worshiping because they weren't on the soil of old Israel. They weren't making long-term commitments because they weren't living where they had been before. They weren't willing to build new homes because they weren't in the old neighborhoods where they had been before. And they were so angry. They were so angry at the people who were around them that the last thing they would do is pray for their prosperity, but they offered the curses to them. And so what Jeremiah said, now, the God is God of all time, and he is the Lord of all lands. And he is the Lord of this day in your life, and this is the only life you're going to ever live. And since that your life on earth is now, you need to live in the now. Be where God has you. We can't wish away this COVID-19 pandemic. What we can do is live vibrantly in the midst of it, not controlled by it, but affected from it, because we are under the circumstances and the sovereignty of God's grace. Build houses and settle down. In this Jeremiah 29, 5 through 7, he lays out this truth that we can build in order to live. Build and settle down. Have this home where you will live. Plant gardens so that you can eat in the future. By planting the seeds, you may have fruit that will feed you in future meals. Marry. Create family. Create friends as family. Be in relationships. Form and fashion this experience together. Be able to have a fruitful time, because otherwise, Jeremiah said, you will decrease rather than increase. There will be less of you on the other side of this tragedy than there were when the tragedy began. But what God provides is a way for you to indeed is to prosper in light of the Lord. And then he says, pray for those in the city who are with you. Now, there's a tension in the state of Texas now, as well as across our country. In truth, it's around the world. How soon can we get back to what has been the old normal? We need to open up our businesses. We need to be able to do our economy? Absolutely. But we know that we have to do the practices of opening our economy in the safest ways possible. And this is how we can be a people of faith and to help our city in our region, is to pray for the blossoming that as you're listening today, you've been having to make major changes in the midst of your personal finances and your business plan. We know that of each other, and that's one of the ways we've been praying and supporting each other. And we want you to thrive economically. We want you to thrive in a prosperity. But to do so in such a way that also is true to the times of safe practices. That's why we're worshiping, again, creating the option to worship person on May the 31st. Not that it's a sign of faithfulness that you have to be in the sanctuary on that day in order to prove your faithfulness to God, but because we've come to the place in the response to the pandemic that we can, with certain practices, to be able to, again, have that opportunity as well as worshiping continually by our broadcast. Now, we can speak hope into the lives of people who are really angry now. People who are angry, and they're using their anger to push and shove. That we will not be among those pushers and shovers. We'll be intentional, we'll be forceful, but we'll be doing so with the act of a hope that it's filled with a love that shapes a future. Don't let people frame disunity when we can help to model a unity in the different practices. That's why, as Judd said, we celebrate in the life of our high school seniors, both from the life of here at Trinity or as Debbie expressed in her children's sermon to see how they've grown. There are 3.3 million high school graduates this year in America. It's the only time that our graduates and those graduates will be graduating from high school. It's not a throwaway time, but it is a different time. And part of our prayer and commitment is that they will allow this time in their lives to be shaped in a trusting of God that has enabled them to do it differently, that can help them to adapt to the future adaptations that will require as life goes forward for the rest of their lives. This is not the last challenge that they will face. It's not the first one. It's not the last one. And the same is true for us. And what we can do as people who are older than our high school seniors is help to model this kind of faith, this Jeremiah 29:11, and the kind of people who indeed are building and are planting, are forming friendship family, and are praying for the prosperity of all in which we are living. So it is that the promise of God comes to our lives and that we may be able to see to see what it is that God is seeking to show us by seeking him with all of our heart. The seeking God with all of our heart is a way to be able to know that it's the heart call upon our lives that gets us to our next place. Where does that take us? Well, Jesus put it this way in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. In the early part of his ministry, he said, I want you to know that as you come and follow me, I'm going to be making you, but this is how you are to be made. I'm not going to be making you where everything is easy. You won't even know where you're going to sleep some nights. You won't know where your next paycheck is going to come from. But your plans are in a relationship with me, and I will provide for you as you trust me. Now, for some of them, they would figure out a long-term place to sleep, a long-term place to work. But they didn't get addicted to those long-term plans because they stayed connected to the one who was providing the goodness they needed in their life. That's a big deal going on right now. Are you allowing God to take you away from the false sense of control and allowing then your confidence that's shaped by him to give you a confidence to be able to be intentional as you live today and you lean in tomorrow, but you ride loose in the saddle of what that will require. So in Matthew 5:48 in the Amplified Version, Jesus put it this way. Be you perfect. And perfect means to head in God's direction. Be perfect. And how do you get that? How do you head in God's direction? Well, it's by growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character. Having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, our heavenly Father is holy. Our heavenly Father is sinless. The heavenly Father is the absolutely ultimate goodness. But he comes in our life that we may grow our lives so that we may do from our lives in a way that builds then in our world integrity and values and a godliness that we may be able to see. And then do it with your heart. Three comes by letting your hope with your heart that God shapes his future reality in your heart. See, what is yet to be is coming today. What is yet to be as we're willing to lean in it and work on it is coming at our lives today. Going into the third year of marriage for Vicki and I, it was my second year at seminary. After a year of being out in ministry in Tennessee and New Jersey, I returned for a special term on our campus there in Louisville. And I took a course in the prophet Jeremiah. This is the book that I wrote from that intensive study. And looking at all the passages of the 52 chapters, doing some translation of the Hebrew, looking at the context and the themes and what was the takeaway. All these years later, I realized this is not something that was simply that was in a paper, in a notebook that formed a book, but it is in my heart that the message that got shaped. As God shaped it then, he shapes it today. During that month, we moved into a studio apartment, the kind of apartment that you know, maybe you're living in now or you've lived in, where the sofa that you sit on is also your bed, where you pull it out and then you have no other room to walk in the room, where what you hear rustling around the room are cockroaches. When you go into the kitchen, what you see in the sink are cockroaches coming up and down the drain, not wanting to be too specific for you, but you get a picture of it. And then we discovered that we were expecting our first child, that Vicki was pregnant with our first child who would be called Rachel. Vicki was our sole income earner. I was a full-time student at that moment. We didn't know where our next job would be able to come from. And one day, I helped my major professor, Bill Leonard, to move. He and Candace to a new house with their daughter, Stephanie. And David Garland, who was a professor there, we made the move together. And during that time, then David said, Les, I met you when you were in Knoxville as college minister, and I'd like to recommend you where I'm an interim now at Finchville. Would you like that? I said, would I like that? Gosh, yes. Been praying for some kind of opportunity, but I didn't know how to get at it. So he did, and the search team wanted me to be able to preach somewhere. I had nowhere that I was preaching. And then a friend called and said, hey, Les, I'm not going to be at Mud Pike Baptist Church in Versailles, Indiana. You got that, Mud Pike Baptist Church. And early on a Sunday morning, Vicki and I drove to Mud Pike, and literally you go down a pike, you went across a dirt-covered creek, and there we preached, and she sang, and they were kind enough to call us. And all the while, we were trying to figure out how well our future was going to unfold when so much was coming at us, and we didn't know within us. But in the midst of that, my brother called from Lubbock, Texas, and said, Les, I don't know how, but I do know this about God. He will provide a way for you. Remembering that. Now, 36 years later, here in San Antonio, our first child, Rachel, did a theatrical reading of a book she's writing from Jeremiah 29:11. See, the very book that was forming my life at that key time in my life, then enacted in her own way, in her own description, that including when life goes sideways, how God creates forward action, if we create traction by a trust in him, he'll always take us ultimately where we can best be. Trusting God in the present moment doesn't mean that we know how it will all come together. But we do know that it will come together in light of him, and we act today in that way. That's what it means to be a hopeful person. That's what it means for hope to be shaped in our heart. That's what it means for God to shape his future reality in our heart today. And by that hope, we have our place. About 2 months ago, Vicki's mother, remarkable lady of faith and courage, had a hip revision surgery to follow up from what had been a much earlier hip replacement surgery. We were hopeful that not only would the pain be removed, that she would be able to walk after that surgery. And the good news in the midst of the bad news is the pain was removed, but she's not going to be able to walk ever again. So we made a quick trip up to that metropolis of Maypearl, Texas, and spent a couple of days with her. And again, in her, I was able to see this woman of faith making an adjustment to her new reality, but the reality is in light of God's great reality. And driving back from there to here, we drove through these many small towns and saw on the scene, like you have seen, photographs of high school seniors from that particular school on fences or along walls to give, highlight them and to call them out. But we also drove by and did a driveway visit with some of our family members. One of those you have prayed for, that's my brother-in-law, Tom. We pulled into their driveway in Waco, Texas, and we waved to them, got out of the car, but we didn't get close. We didn't hug like we wanted to. And which then, he has had two heart procedures. He's overcome life-threatening staph infection, been hospitalized three different times. But on this day, he was able to return to his work as a psychologist, meeting with people in counseling sessions by way of Facebook Live, by being able to having FaceTime with his patients. I told him that his patients had prayed harder for him maybe than anyone else because they're saying, God, we need our counselor with us. But there on a front porch was just the sign that when our heart is shaped by the heart of God, and as we undergo our own heart surgeries, there is health that will come and a promise to claim. And so it is that Jeremiah wraps up this part of his message in verses 12 through 13. And what he says with our heart is with a heart conversation, that you will call on me and pray to me. You will listen. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's all of your being. With every pressure and strain that you are experiencing, know that that is a way to give all that more of the pressure and the strain, your full attention to God, and praying that out to Him, then He will provide a pathway through that day that will lead to tomorrow and the day after that, and to the next day, to the rest of your life, and to all eternity. Truth is, the challenges never stop. But truth is, God is bigger than any challenge. That you may plan for your future because you're a person of hope. You may imagine the future by intentionally praying today that God is shaping you in the midst of the times in which we live that will also make you that person of strength for a time that is yet to come. Our invitation calls us to this. It's the invitation to seek. Jesus would say, seek and you will find, ask and you'll receive, knock and the door will open to you. That if we're seeking what is right, the kingdom of righteousness, the very face of God, the presence and purpose of God to make sense of our presence and purpose in today, then God will greet us with love and an embrace. He'll greet us with a hope and a truth. He'll greet us right now where you are and with what's going on in your life. What love can do. As Jacob and our worship band lead us in this song, bring your life unto the Lord. Say, one, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. This is the day that I'm making the spiritual history to trust you as my Savior, commit my life to follow you as Lord. This is the day that I'm connecting to create friends as family in the life of the family of faith with the Trinity. This is the day that I'm recommitting my business, my personal finances, and the pressures that I'm experiencing in life to be shaped by you, that I'll be a person of hope. However He's calling you, let Him lead you now.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.